It is good to see you. We're glad that you're here, and I'm glad to be with you. And I hope that you've had a blessed and a wonderful week. And we're just glad that you're here to celebrate, that you're here to worship. This morning, we're going to be talking about living with a purpose. You know, we've been talking about for some weeks about this idea of the church and what the church is, what the Word of God says the church is. Our mission is a church. Our purpose is a church. And in the last few weeks in particular, we've talked about personal evangelism, how we reach out to the world. And this last Sunday morning, we talked about our worship, what worship means for the church, what it means for us individually. And this morning, we want to focus on how we live with a godly purpose. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. One verse this morning. And as you find your place in the reading of the Word of God, I'd ask that you please stand with me. If you don't have a copy of the Word of God, it'll be on the screen for you this morning. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Living with a purpose. The Word of God says it this way: many are the plans in the minds of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come and to be here in your house this morning. Lord, Father, I'm so thankful that we have a place that we can come and that we can worship together one with another. Lord, I'm thankful that you've given me another opportunity to come to stand in your pulpit to preach your word, to share a message that you've laid upon my heart. Lord, Father, I just thank you for this body of believers. Lord, for the great things that you've done in our church just in the last 2 years, Lord. Father, I thank you for the spirit that we have here amongst those of us that call ourselves brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray that you continue to grow that spirit. And Lord, I pray that you continue to make us a stronger church, Lord. And Lord, I pray that this morning you help us to see and understand the great message that you have in store for us about learning to live with a purpose. Not just anybody's purpose, Lord, but your purpose. Lord, your purpose for us in this community as a church. Lord, your purpose for us as individuals, whether it be in our workplace, whether it be within our families, whether it be within serving you. Lord, I pray that in everything that we do, Lord, we have a greater godly purpose in it all. So Lord, I just pray that today, if there's anybody here who needs your leadership, your direction, your guidance, Lord, I pray that you provide it unto them. Lord, I know that there are many who in their lifetimes will question what their purpose is, what they're meant for, why are they here. Lord, I know that in my life I have asked those questions, and I know that others, even today, ask those very same questions. So Lord, I pray that you, Father, will give them the leadership and the knowledge to come unto your face, Lord, to seek your direction about what purpose you would have for them. Lord, I pray that as a church, we would seek your face and our purpose in this community. What ministries you would have us to be a part of. What ministries you would have us to support. What groups of people, Lord, we would reach out to the most. Today, Father, I just ask that you use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for your honor and your glory. Lord, I pray that you forgive me of my many shortcomings and my failures, Lord, as truly they are many. But Lord, I just pray that now we would come and we would focus on your message and your word. We'd focus on nothing else during this time. So it's all this we ask in Christ's holy precious name. Amen. Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. You know, a lot of times in our minds we come up with what we envision is the best or the most right about our direction, about the leadership that our lives need to go, or about the leadership of our families, or the leadership of our job or the businesses that we work for or own, or in some cases, even the church. You know, we may feel that we know what's best for the church, what's best for our ministries, but according to the psalmist here, many are the plans of the minds of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. The purpose of God that is far greater than our own conceived notions about what we need to do, when we need to do it, and how we need to do it. People often struggle with questions in life about who I am. Do I matter? And what's my place in life? Anybody ever ask those questions? Who am I? You know, it's a matter of identity. And I've come to find as I grow older, having served in ministry and having lived through part of my life, when I've asked myself that question of who I am, sometimes I come to find that I have a lot of different identities. You may be one person at work, you're another person at church, you're another person at home, and then you're the person that you are when you're entirely by yourself and nobody else is around, away from your spouse, away from your kids, away from the eyes of anybody else. And I think sometimes the most important person that we need to work on is not the person that the public sees, not the person that your work sees, not even the person that your children see you as mom and dad, but sometimes I believe the person and the identity that we need to work on the most is the identity of the person in which we are when nobody else is around. Because I want to tell you something, you are who you are deep down inside when nobody else is around. That is oftentimes your truest identity. So as you ask yourself that, who am I in my great purpose? Look to your identities and who you are in one condition or another. We ask that question, do I really matter? It's an issue of what is my impact? And I believe if we're all honest with each other, we want to say that we matter in life, do we not? I don't think anybody wants to say that they don't matter or that they don't have a desire to make a great impact on the world. I think if anybody is truly honest, they can say, I want to make an impact on the world. Now, some people make a very positive impact. Others of us tend to make a very negative impact. But I hope as we look to what our living purpose is in serving God, that we see that our impact is something that far outreaches just our lifetime. There's people that want to make an impact in their life, in the world, and they want that heritage and that impact that they make to be around for generations. That's why a lot of people donate large sums of money so that they can have their name on a building. Do you know that? People want that image, that impact, to seem as if they mattered. In serving God, I hope that we look for a greater godly impact that will matter far beyond this life. Do you understand that what we do as Christians matters? And what we do in serving the Lord impacts not just people in this lifetime, but can impact people for all eternity. It's not a question of just who I am or do I matter, but sometimes we even ask that question of what is my place in life? Where is it that I'm meant to serve? What is it that I need to do? It's a matter of importance. And I want you to know this. If you don't think you're important to anybody else, you're important to me. As your pastor, you're important to me. And more than just me, you are important to God. God cares about you. God loves you. You are His creation. He knows everything about you. The number of hairs on your head, who you are when nobody else is around. He knows your very personality. He knows the true nature of your heart. So when we ask that question about what my place in life is, know this, you are important. Regardless of who you are, regardless of what your role in serving in the church or your role in serving in this life is. All of these questions and others are important. And the answers to those questions are as equally important. They're important to God, but the answer to these questions about who I am, do I matter, what's my place in life, not only do they matter to God, but they ought to matter to you also. There's some people who go about this life just as if they're lost in life itself, as if they really don't care, as if they just go by the seat of their pants.
Well, church, I want to ask these questions today because I want us to live with purpose. I don't want us to live and exist just for the sole point of living or existing. God created us for a greater purpose and a greater intent. God didn't create us just because. He created us with a great purpose. And I want us to better see and understand what that purpose is for us and for the church as well. You know, I think the first question that we really need to begin to ask ourselves in talking about who I am and do I matter and what's my place in life is this. I believe we ought to ask, what will be the center of our lives? What do you want to be the center point and the focus of your life? You can make it anything. You can take your life and you can dedicate it to anything that you want to dedicate it to. If you want to dedicate it to the arts, if you want to dedicate it to science, if you want to dedicate it to your job and the pursuit of money, if you want to dedicate your life solely to the pursuit of happiness, you can do that. There's nothing that's stopping you. We've all been given the ability to freely choose what we want to do and how we want to do it. But if we talk about in terms of serving God and living with a greater purpose or living with a godly purpose, I think when we ask this question, what will be the center of my life? It ought to be something more than just money or a job. It ought to be something that truly matters and lasts for all eternity. Christ said it this way in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I say that and point this verse out so that we can see and understand this. The things that really matter to you in life, the things that you treasure, the things that you deem to be the most important, the things that you center your life around, there is what your heart is going to be focused on. Those are the things that your heart will hold to be most true and most important. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What's the center point of your life? What do you choose to focus your life on? For some of us, it's a job. For some of us, it's a better paycheck. You know, in our working careers, we're always trying to do better, aren't we? We're always trying to make a little more money, aren't we? I'll prove it to you. Is there anybody in here who could use a little more money? Few of you must be doing well for yourselves. I didn't see some hands raised on that one. All right. 2/3 of us agreed we could all use a little bit more money. If we all got a raise tomorrow, who among us could still use a little more money? It's a never-ending cycle, isn't it? In the pursuit of making more money, in the pursuit of making a better living, it's never going to be good enough. It's sad that oftentimes we make the things like that that are the least important, the most important in our life. If we make a paycheck our treasure, that's going to be the focus of our heart. Rather, we ought to make the treasure the things that really matter, like God. God is the greatest treasure that any man could hope to accept or to have in his or her life. Why? Because we serve a God who loves us immensely. We serve a God who loves us so much that He gave of His only Son, that if we believed and accepted in Him, we could be pardoned from our sins. Sent His Son to literally be sin for us. And if we'd but accept Him, believe Him, we'd be saved. That should be our treasure. If we make God our treasure, if we make Christ our treasure, that's where our heart's going to be. And church, I say that because I want you to see and understand that you can't fake it. You cannot fake it. What your treasure is, that's going to be your heart. You can fool me. You can fool your community. You can fool your spouse. You can even fool yourself. But I'm telling you, Christ told us, what your treasure is going to be the focus of your heart. I know a lot of people who are going through life faking it. I know a lot of people who came and sat down in a pew this morning, not just here, but in churches all across this nation, all across this world, who they're faking it. They say that they live for God, but they really don't. They say that God is the greatest thing in their life, but He's really not. Serving and helping others and seeing that a lost and a dying world comes to know about Christ, they say that that's what their greatest heart's desire is, but it's really not. Why? Because their heart's not there. They give a great lip service. They put forth action and maybe even deed, but their heart's not there. You see, if we're going to live with a purpose, we've got to make Christ a treasure so that that's where our heart will be. It doesn't do a lot of good to say that you love the lost and you want to do ministry and you want to serve and that you love the Lord if you really don't. Church, it's more than just about saying it. I want you to see that. It's about living it. It's about making the decision that I'm not just going to say that I love the Lord. I'm really going to love the Lord. I'm not just going to say that I'm going to dedicate myself to serving Him. I'm really going to dedicate myself to serving Him. And if you want to make that decision, if you want to make that decision to be a stronger Christian, if we want to make that decision to be the church that God wants us to be, we can't just say it. We've got to do it. And the way that we do it is by making Him the treasure. Church, it really is a question about our worship. How do you worship God? You know, last week we talked about how that if we're going to worship God, we've got to do it authentically. Church, I believe that's a problem in the hearts of some people. They don't know how to worship God because when they look at God, they really don't know who and what God is. They don't really know what the Word of God says about God. You see, we make God to be what we want Him to be. When He offends us, we change who God is. We change His Word so that it doesn't bother us anymore. How can we worship authentically if we're all the time changing God and changing His Word and how it applies to our heart and our life? Church, it's a matter of how we look at God, how we and what we know about God. A life that is centered on God is a life that is centered on something that is strong and will last forever. Too many of us go about seeking all these things in life that really don't matter. There was a quote by somebody, and I wish I could tell you who said it. I wrote it down years ago, and I've since forgotten. But it went like this. He said, "When God is at the center of your life, you worship. When He's not, you worry." Listen to that again. When God is at the center of your life, you worship. When He's not, you worry. You see, when you really worship God, when you really make Him your treasure, when you really make Him the center point, you can know and understand that everything is going to be okay. Because we serve an Almighty God. We don't just serve a God who's good. We don't just serve a God who's okay. We don't just serve a God who's kind of got it under control. We serve an almighty, all-powerful God. We serve a God who is always on the throne. We serve a God who never ceases to be amazing, wonderful, and great. But you see, when we just say that we serve God, but our heart's really somewhere else because we've got our treasure in something that it doesn't need to be, and we've invested all this time and effort into something else besides God, how can you do anything but worry? Amen? How can you do anything but worry? There's nothing in this life that is permanent. There's nothing in this life that's even really remotely reliable. Finances come and go. Anybody ever lost money in the stock market? Anybody ever lost money in your retirement account? Amen. Mine went down 1% the last quarter. Not a lot. A few years ago, I was pastoring a church. An older couple there.
been about 10 or 12 years ago now. Older couple in my church. They lost $100,000 in a matter of 2 days. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Nothing is reliable in life. It comes and it goes. But we serve a God who never ceases to be the same. Never ceases to be the same. Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, he said this, "Church, we need to be grounded in Him and centered upon His love." Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 said it this way, "So that Christ may dwell in your heart's thoughts, faith that you, being rooted and grounded in love." So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. If you truly want Christ to dwell in your hearts through faith, you got to be rooted and you got to be grounded. You see, Christ is one who never changes. We can be rooted in Him, we can be grounded in Him, and I never have to worry about my God being there. God's always going to love me. God's always going to care for me. God is always going to have His best interest at heart for me and for this church. Think about that. Think about how many people in this world don't have your best interest at heart. Yeah, your wife does. Yeah, your husband does. Hopefully, as a parent, you do for your children. But outside of that small group of people, who in this world has your best interest at heart? Do you think your boss at work does? Anybody? Do you think that your neighbor really has your best interest at heart? Somebody that you hardly even know? Your boss, do you think your co-workers really have your best interest at heart? Do you even think that your friends have your best interest at heart? I serve a God who always has my best interest at heart and who loves me unconditionally. Why would I not make Him my treasure? Why would I not allow Him to be the center point of my life? What will you allow your life to be centered on? If you want to live with purpose, you ought to allow your life to be centered solely on Him. I think the next question that we ought to ask ourselves, church, is this. What will be the very character of my life? The very character. Who will you be? Who will you be? Who do you choose to be? Nobody else can define that for you. You hear me? Listen to me this morning. Nobody else can define for you who you will be. I can't define it for you. Your spouse can't define it for you. Nobody else but you. The Lord wants you to be a dedicated, faithful, loving servant of Him. But even the Lord chooses to allow you to choose who you want to be. He gives you that opportunity to serve Him faithfully or serve Him not at all. He gives you the opportunity to call on His name or to reject and to refuse Him. What will be the character of your life? It's for you to decide. I can't decide it for you. I can share with you what the Word of God says. I can share with you what God is laying on my heart for this wonderful church in the directions that we're going. But ultimately, you have to choose what your character will be. Ultimately, we will choose what direction we feel like God wants us to go in. But will we truly be looking at what God wants us to do, when He wants us to do it, and how He wants us to do it? Church, when we talk about our character and who that we are, it's a matter of discipleship. It's a matter of discipleship. Do we choose to be Christ-like disciples? Remember a few months ago I shared that message with you about which do you want to be, a Christian or a disciple? You know, the term Christian, remember it's used how many times in the Bible? Three. Three times the word Christian is found in the Bible. But how many times is the term disciple used? Hundreds. Hundreds of times the word disciple is found in the Word of God. Which do you want to be, a Christian or do you want to be a disciple? You see, to be a disciple means to truly be a follower. Not just somebody who believes, not just somebody who reads, not just somebody who talks about, but a disciple is one who truly follows, who emulates, who makes their life like His. You see, our character ought to be defined by who that Christ is and by what He wants us to do, on how that He lived His life. That should be the focus of our life. That should be the basis of our character. Not just what we think that it ought to be, but based on what Christ wants it to be. Paul, writing in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says this. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." You see, you choose who you want to be. You can choose to be that loving, faithful servant of God, or you can choose not to be. You can choose to act like a loving, faithful servant of God, but in reality you're not, because you're not willing to dedicate yourself to what it really means, being a true disciple of His. You see, the decision to be a loving, faithful, dedicated servant of the Lord, we have to start out with what Paul says here in this second verse. Do not be conformed to this world. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I just become way too conformed to the world. Anybody else? There's times in my life when I become way too conformed to the world. Sometimes we call it just going with the flow. Sometimes we call it being politically correct. Sometimes we call it all kinds of different things. But Paul here says it best. You're just selling out. Paul says you're selling out. He says you're just becoming conformed to the world. Paul says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Renewal of the mind truly comes in your relationship with the Lord. According to the Word of God, it says that we become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're transformed by the renewal of our mind, by the testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. If we truly pray about it, if we truly seek His face, we can know what God's will is for our lives. Amen? Why in the world would I talk so much about and preach so much about and share with you so much about this idea of purpose if God was not going to reveal to you what your purpose was? Over the years, so many... Above and beyond, the most common question that I've been asked as a pastor is, what do you think my purpose is? I can't tell you what your purpose is. Just like I can't define your character of who you will be, I can't tell you what your purpose is going to be. And you know what? It's not for you to choose what your purpose in life is going to be. Here, Paul tells us that if we truly turn to God, if we truly discern, we can know what His will is. We can know what God wants us to do. We can know who God wants us to be. Amen? We can know those things. But you got to discern it. You got to seek His face. You got to want to know. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, John, in the writing of his Episcopal, says it this way. Whosoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked.
You see, the character of our life really is about discipleship. It really is about how closely we follow the Lord and how we emulate our lives to be like His. Whosoever says that he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way that He walked. And if you're wondering, they're talking about Jesus. John's saying, if you say that you abide in Him, if you say that you love Him, if you say that you serve Him, if you say that you know Him, you ought to walk in the same way that He walked. Church, this is getting real this morning. If for nobody else, for me. It gets real for me. Because too often, I get conformed to the world. When Paul said, don't do that, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here, John says, if you love Him, if you abide in Him, if you know Him, if you call Him Lord, walk like Him, talk like Him, act like Him. It's easy to talk like Him. At times it might even be easy to act like Him. But the real full measure is, can you walk like Him? That's what matters. Your character, your walk, that who you are when nobody else is around. The best character that you can build for your life is a Christ-like character. And that character goes into eternity. That character lasts forever. Don't build up for yourself things in this life that you think you can leave behind so that people can know your character and who that you were. Because you know what? In a few generations, nobody's going to know. You know, I work in a university where there's names of people on buildings. Nobody knows them. Nobody can tell you who in the world that person even is. Can't tell you what they did. Can't tell you their significance in life other than they were the one who gave the most money and their name got to be over the doorway. It's all they know. I want my life to be something more than that. Amen. I hope you want your character in your life to be something more than just that. The third great question we have to ask ourselves is this. What will be the contribution of my life? What will be the contribution of my life? This is truly a question of your service. We've talked about our worship to God, how that we make Him the center of our life. We've talked about how that we'll make our character like God's, like Christ. We'll walk like Him. We'll be disciples of His. Now we talk about our contribution. What do you want your contribution to be in life? I don't know. I can't tell you that. This message has been all about things that I can't tell you and define for you. These are the things that you have to define for yourself. What do you want your contribution in life to be? If you want your contribution in life to be that I worked hard and made a lot of money, you can do that, but in the end, what does it really matter? What have you gained from that? Besides making a lot of money, and then when you die, your kids can fight over it. Amen? We can laugh and say it's funny, but I used to work for a sheriff's department where I saw families fight and feud over who got the furniture, who got the house, who got the money, how they were going to sell it and divide it up amongst each other, what would be the most fair way. This child thought they were owed more because they worked hard for mom and dad and kept them up in their later years, while this child really didn't deserve as much because they were never around. You know, I've heard all that. You probably have too. What do you want your contribution in life to be? You may not be a Billy Graham. You may not be a Pope John Paul. You may not be a Mother Teresa. You may not be a Charles Stanley. You may not be anybody that anybody else recognizes generations from now. But what do you want your contribution to be? Even if nobody else knows years down the road, do you want your contribution to be one who gave their life serving the Lord and serving others? Or do you want your contribution to be something else? Do you want your contribution to be worldly? You can have that. If that's what you want, you can have it. But if you want your contribution in life to be that I served and loved the Lord, you can have it. Amen? You can have that. All you've got to do is make the decision. That's what I want, and that's what I want to serve, and that's what I'm going to dedicate my heart to. Because I want Christ to be the center point and the focus of my life. I don't know about you, but I want to better dedicate myself to serving Him. That's what I want my greatest contribution in life to be. I would far rather be known for my service to God than anything else that I'm doing in my career field. And I mean that with all sincerity. And I hope you do too. What is it that defines you? What makes you who you are? For some people, it's their job. You're defined by your job. For some people, you're defined by your workplace. For some people, you're defined by your title as a mom, or your title as a dad, or your title as a husband or a wife. And all those things are good. But I hope you're defined by more than just that. I hope you're defined by your relationship in the Lord and how that you serve Him. Have you ever asked yourself the question about who you're best fitted to serve? What area and what group? For some, you may be best fitted to serve evangelizing and sharing with others how that they might be saved. For others of you, that may terrify you immensely. And it may not be your calling to evangelize and to personally witness one-on-one with people. Your area of service might be to feed the hungry, to clothe those who are without, to share love and compassion by simply listening to somebody who needs to cry and tell you about their trials in life. Maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe you're a prayer warrior. Maybe you feel like that you can't do anything else, but I know this, you can pray. Amen? Prayer makes a difference. Prayer is still something that matters and that we need more of. Miss Carol came to me this morning, probably 8 months ago. She came to me with somebody that she wanted to pray for. I never even met this young man. Wouldn't know him if he walked in the building today. Miss Carol wanted me to pray for a young man that her granddaughter was dating. And you know what? We prayed together for that young man that he would be saved. She told me this morning that last week he got saved. Prayer matters. You see, it's contributions like that that matter. You see, even if nobody else remembers, I can tell you this. If you love the Lord and you help people in your love for the Lord, people will remember because their lives will be impacted. Their children will even remember. There are people to this day who over the years that I've had an opportunity to lead to the Lord, and they can still come to me and say, "Man, I remember the day that you prayed with me and I accepted Christ. Thank you so much." That is worth millions of dollars. Priceless. Priceless. If you've never had an opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord and tell them how that they can be saved, you have no idea on what you're missing out on. If you've never taken an opportunity to feed a family that needs to be fed, you have no idea what you're missing out on. If you've never taken an opportunity to really serve in a ministry, you have no idea what you're missing out on. What do you want your service to be? What do you want your service to be? What do you want to be defined by?
1 Timothy chapter 6, 11 through 16. I'm going to close quickly. I've lingered on far too long. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11 through 16. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. He says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He says, I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus in His testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which He will display at the proper time, He who is the blessed and only Sovereign and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to Him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. It says, serve the Lord. Love Him. Be thankful. Be happy. Be joyous in serving the Lord. Turn away from the Lord, the world, and serve the Lord, is what Paul wrote unto Timothy. Paul, writing this letter from prison, some of the last letters that he would write in his life, and he wrote them to Timothy, telling Timothy, don't focus on all of the things of the world. Make this your service. Make this your impact. Make Christ the center of your life. As our praise and worship teams, as we close out this sermon that probably went way longer than it should have, as we get ready to move from that to a time of response, here is your opportunity to come. You've asked, what's my impact? What's my importance? What am I here to do? What's my role in this church? What's my role in serving the Lord? Well, you know what? This is your opportunity. This is your time to come and pray about that. I'm here, love to pray for you and pray with you. But you don't have to have me. Again, I can't answer those questions for you. But if you discern and ask of the Lord, He'll tell you. He'll let you know. What do you want the center of your life to be? If you're not living your life with Christ at the center, you're going to have nothing but worry. When He's at the center of your life, you can truly worship. What do you want your impact to be? What do you want your service to be? Do you want to be known for your job? Or do you want to be known for greater service to the Lord? What about your character? Your character, who you are when nobody else is around. What do you want that to be? You come this morning. Father, Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, Lord, as we move to a time of response, Lord, I pray that the hearts of Your people are motivated, touched, Lord, and even inspired. Lord, I pray that this morning there'd be people come to the altar. Lord, I pray that they would come in seeking Your face and Your direction. Lord, I pray that they would come to get the answers to the questions that we've talked about this morning. Lord, Father God, I just pray that Your Holy Spirit moves on the hearts of Your people, that they'll be receptive. It's in Your holy, precious name we ask it. Amen.